Thank you. Now, our pastor, Brother Chick.
Thank you. Brother Mike Hawes, would you come forward, please, this morning? He wasn't expecting this. I have one of my sisters with us this morning, her and her husband. And that's one of my baby sisters. They still take care of me. They still think they have to take care of the big brother. And then all four of our grandchildren are here this morning. And there's somebody very special here today. Welcome home, my brother.
Thank you.
He doesn't know how many prayers went up for him. It's good to have you home.
Thank you.
And that tells you one thing for sure, that God's still on the throne. That's not a very good place to live, is it?
No, it's not.
But we want to thank you for serving our country.
Thank you.
Let's give him a hand. You know, Bible Baptist Church is famous for what their servicemen have done. Some of our boys didn't get to come home. Well, they came eventually, but they didn't get to come home and be up on the platform with their pastor. And this time, the Lord's been so good to us. I think all of them are home now, but just maybe one left. And he's supposed to come in any day. I couldn't remember whether this was a Sunday he was going to be back. But, amen. It always blesses me to see them home. Someone asked me a question this morning, and before I start, on your program this morning, the Bible says, I am the truth. I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, someone asked me this morning, where is that found, Pastor? It's found in the book of John, chapter 11, verse 25. But I want you to know this is the Gordon's tomb. This was the tomb that Christ was resurrected from. And you know, because of Bible Baptist Church and their love for their pastor, Mrs. Chick and I have had the privilege of being there a number of times. And I've got good news for you. That tomb is empty. So we rejoice in that. Hallelujah for the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 58, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, thank you again for a resurrected Savior, and for bringing Brother Mike home safe. And we pray that you'll be with our others that are over there. Lord, watch over them and protect them. And Father, we pray that each man and woman that's serving our country there, that you'll just keep your hand of mercy over them and bring them back home safe. Now we ask that you bless this service today. May the lost get saved and may the Christian be renewed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Seventy-3 years ago, Bible Baptist Church, this month, celebrated its first Easter Sunday as a church. It was a wee little building up in North Enid. There were a few faithful people that served there that Easter Sunday morning. Brother Jerry Jackson was there. And most all the others have gone to be with the Lord. But from that seed that was planted, yes, help those little girls have a seat, please, girls. Thank you. Thank you. Aren't they little ladies? But from that seed came a dynamic church. A church that fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. A church that carried out the philosophy to go out into the city of Enid and share the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I that are saved here this morning, we have something to rejoice in. The old rugged cross. Now, there is a song written entitled Hallelujah for the Cross. I appreciated the selections that Brother Randy chose this morning for the choir and for them to sing dealing with the cross. And the cross was important. It's not so much the cross, but it's what happened on the cross that is such of great importance. You know, I'm glad that our Savior didn't remain nailed to the cross. Notice we have a cross in our church, and it's in our baptistry, above our baptistry, but it's empty. It's empty because Christ is a resurrected Savior. And we know that He no longer is in the grave, but He's present with the Heavenly Father making intercession for us. And so the cross wields life and death into one's eternal dominion. Christ is the Lord and King of over both dominions, over those who leave this earth without Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then for those who have Christ as their Lord and King. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, this is what the Apostle Paul saying. Now in Christ, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Listen to verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing in ordinances, for to make it in himself twain one new man, and so making peace. This morning, every person that lives in the city of Enid and on the face of the earth, 7 billions of people, they have an opportunity to have a sweet peace because of a resurrected Savior. You know, sometimes we say to ourselves, well, you know, we live in America and we know about Jesus dying on the cross, but you know, we have people that are probably not even 5 blocks away from our church building who really don't understand what the cross really means. They don't really understand. Oh, they know it's Easter time, and they know it's a time that we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, but it doesn't infiltrate into their hearts to know that it's something very personal. It's more than just something put across our newspaper and on our television set. It's a story of a resurrected Savior that gave His life and rose again the third day that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now this morning, you and I that are saved here today, we really rejoice because we really know what's happened. At one time, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We didn't know the Lord. I lived as a child just a few blocks from this church. And I didn't know that I needed Christ as my personal Savior. But there was a little white frame building on the corner of 11th and Maple Street. And who would ever dream these 60-some years later that I'd be standing behind the sacred desk preaching here But I was a little blue-eyed, curly-headed boy, and I didn't have Christ in my heart, and I didn't have a Sunday school to go to, but someone from this congregation loved our family enough to bring him to God's house so that I could be saved and have a hope for heaven. Somebody asked me the other day, "Pastor Chick, how do you like pastoring the home church?" I've been here for 48 years and I love it. We have the most loving, kind, considerate people who desire to see others have Jesus Christ as their Savior. I've never seen a congregation, and I've preached all over the world, I've never seen a congregation that loves any greater love than you folks have for the cause of Christ. And so this morning I want us to understand that the cross was important. The only real death that one has today is the ones who do not have Christ as Savior. They don't have any hope. There are four reasons why they're still without Christ. And I want to quickly share them with you this morning. First of all, the death of sin. All mankind, in his natural condition, he's lost. You know, even as a child at the age of 9 years old, nobody didn't have to tell me I wasn't perfect. Everybody in the neighborhood knew it, that I wasn't perfect. But I didn't realize that Christ could wash my sins away. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every person sitting in this sanctuary this morning has to experience the fact that when you were born into this world, your mothers and daddies gave you what they could give you, and they gave you love, I'm sure, but also they gave you the dreaded disease called sin. And the wages of sin is death. But I'm glad the story didn't end there this morning. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so what happened on that great cross that morning, or that day that Jesus went there, he was the just one dying for the unjust. Even though we were sinners, Paul said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a phenomenal statement. I've asked myself 100 times at least, why did God love us so much, and why did Jesus love us so much, that God would give his Son to die for our sins and pour out his blood on Calvary and then to resurrect him the third day. And then I know what the Scripture says, and I know he loves us. But the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might be saved." Yes. The cross was the place where the price was paid. It was there the just dying for the unjust. So many people don't understand that that's what God did for you, and that's what God did for me, because I was dead in trespasses and in sin. And then secondly, there's that death because of ignorance. Now, I said this a few minutes ago, but I want to repeat it again this morning. There are many people living in Enid, Oklahoma, that really don't understand the significance of what we call Easter. They really don't understand that it was Jesus Christ going to the cross for our sins. They don't understand that his blood was poured out for our iniquities, so that his blood could be put on the mercy seat yonder in heaven, so that when an individual would come and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the grave, and I accept him into my heart," he did all of that so that we could offer that sinner's prayer. And no, not only does he hear us, but he answers that prayer. The Bible says those that will come unto Jesus, that he will in no wise cast them out. And so on this Easter Sunday morning, when I woke bright and early about 5 o'clock, I was laying there in my bed having my prayer time, and before I got up, and I said, "Lord, thank you again for another Easter." Somebody asked me, "Do you think Christ was resurrected on this Easter day, Brother Chick?" Probably not. And the date, calendar date, really doesn't matter that much. It's the fact that he came forth from the grave. And if he came on the 4th of July, that would be fine too. But at least the world is taking time to stop, and maybe not completely understanding, but they've come to stop to recognize my wonderful Savior. And so I say, amen. And so this morning, there are many who are dead in trespasses and in sin, where in times past all of us walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, rather, verses 1 and 2. And then there's another reason why he came. And I think this is probably the saddest of them all. There's that death of fear. Having to face eternity. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And you know, even the smallest child begins to understand that from conception, as he's conceived or she's conceived, that immediately she starts moving towards the time when they're going to have to face eternity. And you know, so many times, when they become aware of that, they say to themselves, "I'm afraid." Remember the scripture we read this morning from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Why, they were swallowed up when Jesus Christ came forth from the grave. I know we're getting in the time of the season when the flowers are blooming. And by the way, we have beautiful flowers here this morning. Whoever did all this work, Brother Randy and crew, thank you. But I can remember as a child, we used to have these bushes that were just white. I think they're called spithia. Is that what they're called? Anyway, the bees got on those, and they were sucking nectar out of them. Now, I liked the flowers, but I didn't care for the bees. And it was about that time of the year in our front yard, the clover began to stick his head up out of the ground, you know, after a hard winter. And there was the bees in there. And when Mother and Dad wasn't looking, as a child before school was out, after school was out, you could take your shoes off. But until then, you wore your shoes. But we'd slip those shoes off and go running through the clover. And guess what happened? "Hi, Mr. Bee. Your foot landed on him and he landed on you." And it sting. And so I thought to myself, man, there's got to be a way of destinging those rascals. And so I learned to take a piece of Kleenex and go to the bush or to the clover bud. And I'd take the Kleenex and I'd put it over the bee. And then I'd pull out my little polo shirt. Maybe I ought not to tell you how this works. And I'd pull it out, and you know, he'd hit that shirt with the stinger, and out would come the stinger. And then I would take the little bee to my sisters. You see, Sandra's laughing. This little bee, he buzz, 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 but that's not all he does. Amen? And the girls in the neighborhood, and we'd all the boys would get the bees, and they said, "What do you got in your hand?" "We got a bug in there." "What kind of bug in there is that?" "It's a pretty bug." And they'd get up close, you know, and then we'd open our hands, and out would come the bee. And you talking about the spreading of the 5,000, they went everywhere running. Now, Mother and Dad, for some reason, didn't think that was funny. Nor did the girls that we pulled it on. But you see, we knew a secret that they didn't know. And if they would have just thought, they would have understood that if we were holding that bee in our hands, that something was gone from him. And all the people said, amen. But sometimes girls don't think that deep. Whoa, I'm going to get in trouble this morning for sure. But we knew the stinger was gone. And you know, sometimes in life, people are so afraid of death. And they're worried about the stinger of death coming in and snuffing out their lives. And here's the tragedy of life. There's no reason to fear death if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because Christ has removed the stinger from death, the awfulness of death. And if we have Christ as our personal Savior, no longer can that bee of death sting us. From now on, that bee is harmless. And besides that, they're pretty anyway. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, Jesus took care of the two worst things that man can imagine. Death and the grave. How many times in the 50 years that I've been a pastor have I gone to the graveside to place the body back to dust from which it came? And for those who knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, oh, there was sorrow. The Bible told the Christian, sorrow not as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Christ is going to bring those with him, and we'll be united with our loved ones again. But for those who went to the cemetery and to the grave, and they didn't understand the hope of the resurrection, and again, they knew about Easter, but they didn't know that Easter didn't just apply to Jesus. It applies to mankind. For those who would come into Christ, he would no wise cast them out. They could have salvation and eternal life. And you know, this morning I want to remind you of this. It's not God's plan for you to leave this earth without Christ. It's not God's plan that when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not God's plan that you would fear no evil. You know why? Because Christ is there for those who have received him. And this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning, what we want to share with you is the fact that you don't have to be afraid of death. That he's alive forevermore. The choir and the music this morning all declared that he's not in the grave, he's alive. The first time, and I've said this before, but it bears witnessing again. The first time I went to the Garden Valley in Jerusalem there, into the tomb area, and there's a beautiful garden there. And I went in early the first morning, and the caretaker that was taking care of that garden was a born-again Christian. And I don't care whether you're in Israel or Greece or wherever you're at, if you run into another born-again Christian, there's a connection immediately. And so my wife and I and a friend, we went to the tomb and to the garden just to look in through the gate. Because I'm so excited about being in Israel, first of all, but then to be where Christ's body was laid. Not far, I saw where he was crucified. And not many steps away did I go to the Garden Valley and the garden there where he was buried. And that blessed saint of God said, sir, would you and your wife and your friend like to go into the garden a little early? Because the sun was just coming up. And I said, oh, could we? And I never will forget. I don't know what happened to my friend, and I don't know where my wife was, but I took off. And I headed down those gravel paths and the beautiful flowers on both sides. And I got to the point where I can look and see this tomb. That's on your program this morning. And I didn't stop. When I got to the tomb, I went in and I said, "He's not here." And I never will forget when I came out, my wife said, "Well, honey, did you expect him to be there?" And I said, "No, but I've seen it with my own eyes. He's not here. He's risen." All the years that I've preached that Christ is risen, I'm here to tell you this morning, He is risen again. I'm here this morning to tell you that He rose from that grave so you could have life and have life more abundantly. That you could move from your life all the fears and all the things that you're frightful of for the future and into eternity. That is all taken care of if you have Christ. Yesterday, Mrs. Chick and I went out to do a little shopping. And there are some people that recognized us, and I didn't know them. And they said, "Pastor Chick, how you doing?" I said, I'm rejoicing. It's Easter. My Savior is risen. And I said to them, "Do you know Christ as your personal Savior?" And they said, "Oh, yes, we've been born again." And then I never will forget what was said after that. They said, "Isn't this an exciting time?" And it is. This Easter is an exciting time. And for you that don't have our Savior, it can even be a more exciting time. What greater day to let Jesus Christ come into your heart than on the day that we celebrate His resurrection for our sins, for my sins and for your sins. And then for those of us here this morning that are saved. You see, when you have Jesus, you have everything. But if you don't have Christ, absolutely you have nothing. But I want you to know that a few years back, I walked into the valley of the shadow of death. And I want you to know that I feared no evil. You know why? Because our Heavenly Father was with me. Now, the only disappointment I had was He didn't let me go on home in heaven. And I had to come back. But that's okay, because I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know that if the Lord calls me home today, for me to be absent from this body is to be present with Him. And you say, "Well, that sounds pretty good." Let me tell you something. It's better felt than heard. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm here this morning to share with you that the tomb and the cross, they're empty. But our Savior is alive, standing at the Father's right hand, waiting for you that don't have Jesus as Savior to come forward during the invitation and let one of our counselors take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. And you can walk out of this building this morning rejoicing, knowing that on Easter Sunday morning, 2012, you settled the eternal count that had to be taken care of, that you are now a child of the King. I think back in closing to all the wonderful gifts I've received in my life, and I've received many. I think back to all the wonderful things that have happened in my life. I was raised, after Dad got saved at the age of 38, I was raised in a Christian home. And I was loved by Mother and Dad as they raised me up. And that was a grand experience. And Mother and Dad's home with the Lord this morning, and I wouldn't wish them back, but I'd like to tell them thank you for keeping me in the house of the Lord where I could have Christ as my Savior. And that was a good experience. And then at the age of 19, I married a wonderful lady, blonde-headed and blue-eyed, and I think that's the second salvation for me. She knew how to take care of me. And by the way, she's still taking care of me. And let me address this to the ladies of the church. You keep telling me Mrs. Chick spoils you. She spoils you. Mind your own business. I'm glad she spoils me. And that was a great experience and gave us two wonderful sons. And both of them are ministers of the cross. And we rejoice in that. But I want you to know the greatest of all things that happened to me was at the age of 9 years old, I asked God to forgive me of my sin. And by faith, I told him, I believe that your son died for me and that he was buried and that he arose again. And now I accept.